Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. It is Monday, December 14th, 2015, and I'm Leanne McAdoo. Here's what's coming up tonight.
Tonight, a new poll shows that Americans are more concerned with terrorists than the struggling economy. Then, how climate shysters plan to get your money. After that, a gun advocate responds to a controversial demonstration. And may the force of the pat-down be with you. That's next.
It is what I would do if I was space aliens here masquerading as humans if I wanted to kill humanity. I mean, that's it. I'm not saying it's space aliens. You know that. I'm just saying if I was a robot computer analyzing this, I would say alien intelligence, you know, crime analysis, masquerading as humans on surface of Earth, overthrow of civilization, cutting off energy supplies, stifling development, enslaving public, dumbing down population, attacking fertility rates, stifling space exploration for operation.
Clean, pure drinking water. You can't survive without it. But where do you get it? Alexa Pure Pro is a brand new, groundbreaking, gravity-fed water filtration system that is like no other. The Alexa Pure Pro transforms water from virtually any fresh source into clean, healthy drinking water, pairing the unprecedented superfiltration power of an all-new gravity block core with a hybrid chromatic shell. It removes up to 99.999% of impurities, including bacteria, viruses, fluoride, disinfectants, volatile organic contaminants, and hormones. Filter capacity up to 5,000 gallons. Stainless steel construction. Easy assembly. Low maintenance. Replacement filters are simple to install. And now, as part of an exclusive limited-time introductory offer, you can save $20 off the retail price and get free shipping. This is a limited-time offer, so order your unit today and receive free shipping and $20 off. Go to InfoWarsStore.com or call 888-253-3139.
Well, we're going to start the news out tonight with a small victory for the GMO labeling crowd. Now, this is one of the biggest food industry opponents to these labeling laws. They are preparing to roll out a non-GMO label. Tropicana Pure Premium Juices will soon be marketed as GMO-free. Now, Tropicana's parent company is PepsiCo. PepsiCo has spent $9 million campaigning against state-level mandatory labeling laws. They also spent another $11 million lobbying for a federal bill that would preempt any local labeling laws and create a voluntary labeling program for GMO-free foods. So we reported on this, and we knew that this was a big scam. What were they going to do? So here they're kind of putting this out at like, hey, look at us. We are going to go ahead and let you know, voluntarily, we'll let you know which one of our products are GMO-free. Meanwhile, Tropicana, premium orange juice has always claimed to be 100% pure Florida oranges, and GMO oranges have not been introduced or approved for commercial production, although they are still kind of working on some. But this is sort of a small victory because we see, you know, this labeling crowd has been pushing for this, but really this is a marketing ploy. They want people to say, you know, look how good this company is for what they're doing, but it's also getting consumers to buy a product at a higher price because it's seemingly safer and a more ethical product. So my advice is to just go to the non-GMOproject.com. They have some resources there where you can take an app that you can take with you to the grocery store. You can find out which products have already been verified and, you know, support those companies that have been pushing for non-GMO products from the get-go, not these major corporations that are going to now try to tag along and they're just going to voluntarily do it so that you think that they are now ethical and the good guys. Meanwhile, they really need to just redo their entire product line. Now, here's another thing that, you know, we've reported on this a lot with autism and, you know, where does it come from? Obviously, scientists, they just have no idea why there's such a rise in autism. And of course, they're not going to link it to vaccines, but it's interesting because now there is a new study that is linking autism to pregnant women taking antidepressants. Now, specifically, they talk about Prozac, Paxil, Zoloft, and their generics. These are some of the most commonly prescribed antidepressants. And now, U.S. research is suggesting that taking them during pregnancy may increase the chances that your child will have autism. And this study's authors say that women who took a common class of antidepressants known as selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors during the second and third trimesters were more than twice as likely than other women to have children who later developed autism. So they also go on to recommend that women with mild to moderate depression may want to consider non-drug approaches such as therapy or exercise, because these things have been shown to alleviate symptoms. And I know for myself personally, I went out and got a chihuahua on my doctor's recommendations. He said, that's going to help you with your depression. I got a dog, and by golly, that little guy brought me so much joy. And I also changed around my diet, and just made sure I was incorporating more dark berries, more nuts, things like that, that really go for that omega-3 for the brain. And really can help you with your depression. So there are some natural alternatives out there, and not these chemicals with these pharmaceuticals that are going to alter not only you physically, mentally, but also your unborn children. Now, shifting gears here, we all know that one of the easiest ways to control the population and have them just conform to your agenda is with fear. And of course, we are in a very important election cycle this 2016 coming up. So people should be worried about the shrinking middle class, but instead they are now worried about terrorism. Now, Kurt Nimmo points out that you are more likely to be killed by lightning than a Twitter-wielding Daesh. So this is the American Enterprise Institute, and they're citing a Gallup poll that declares the top issue facing the U.S. is terrorism. Now, a recent Gallup poll in October said that the top concern was the economy. Unemployment, lack of money, and taxes. But of course, that's been overtaken by terrorism. Now, of course, that has been taken over by terrorism because all we're seeing, CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, is the fact that all this terror, we should be warned, be worried about extremists attacking the country, even though there are no credible threats. So of course, people are now really concerned with terrorism, even though, you know, you are more likely to be struck by lightning. Now, it'll be interesting because tomorrow we're going to be covering the GOP debate live. And here we have someone from American Enterprise Institute saying, let's hope CNN dedicates a meaningful amount of time in the Republican debate in Las Vegas to the issue of terrorism. Voters deserve to hear how candidates plan to defeat Daesh and increase America's national security. So this is what they want people to focus on, this terror that really is probably not going to be a huge issue for us here in America, especially if we don't allow people in that aren't properly vetted, right? But, you know, instead they want you to be focused on this like smoke and mirrors rather than asking the real questions, or what are these candidates going to do to fix the economy, the shrinking middle class, taxes, loss of money. They don't want you to worry about the real issues, and that happens every election cycle. So they got to put up the big boogeyman so they can distract you with that. Now, here's another article. A lot of people, one of the reasons why they're worried about terrorism reaching the United States is because of the vetting process. And particularly, they are furious with a secret U.S. policy that banned visa officials from looking at the terrorist's wife's social media. So it turns out that Tashfeen Malik, she had three separate background checks performed, and she passed all of them. She was able to get her fiancé visa. But meanwhile, according to FBI officials, she was making these social media posts, extensively posting to social media that with her talk included jihad and martyrdom. And so, of course, now they're pushing this out because they're saying, you know, look, our hands were tied. We couldn't go into that social media and just go in and determine, you know, how to vet these people. And so Homeland Security comes out and says, we want to use Facebook in our visa reviews. Now, we have always reported how Facebook and other sites like this are just going to be these huge surveillance state tools. They're huge tools that help collate all of this data on everyone. And one of the big complaints with the Obama administration has been that they cannot properly vet these refugees coming in. And that is the whole mastering the human domain. They need to be able to master the entire human domain in all of these countries. And of course, Facebook has cast a very wide net and is in every country of the world, pretty much other than, I guess, North Korea and communist China. So now this is, according to the Wall Street Journal, they're describing this this new Homeland Security order as part of a new focus on social media for this department. They've traditionally focused on legal records in the visa application process. And of course, you'll recall that in a speech immediately following this attack, President Obama urged high-tech and law enforcement leaders to make it harder for terrorists to use technology to escape from justice. And of course, that is going to be meaning a lot more controls for the rest of us as well, because they hate us for our freedoms, so we need to give them up. And of course, this is why Americans are more afraid of terrorism than they're worried about the economy or something. And I'm wondering if they're going to also now be having a dip into people's phones and their email and things like that, because now the police there in Norway are raising the alarm because they have found hundreds of refugees caught with images of ISIS flags and severed heads on their phones. Now, these are refugees that are seeking asylum, crossing the border into Norway. And according to this report, they were searching their luggage and their cell phones, and they logged hundreds of examples of photos and videos of executions and brutal punishments, such as images of people holding up severed heads or hands. Now, they go on to say, oh, you know, those people could have had it on their phones innocently, of course, because I always download videos of severed heads to my phone and just hold it there for safekeeping. But of course, this is a huge concern. And I'm sure these the technology that Obama is wanting to get into to help stop terrorism is going to now include mobile phones and things like that. Now let's take a look at this, because meanwhile, they say that all these people we should be worried about on the no-fly list, well, if they're so dangerous, why are they still being allowed to just walk amongst us? And in fact, here in Paris, they have people who have been on the terror watch list being actively investigated by the FBI still working at the airport or working for the metro station, the bus station, and all of this. And now this report is coming out. 70 Paris airport workers have had their security passes revoked over extremism fears. And the radicalization of airport personnel has sparked concern after the crash in October of that Russian jetliner in Egypt. The officials believe that it was brought down by a bomb that was smuggled on board by an airport worker. Now, 85,000 people have these secure zone clearances in these two airports around Charles de Gaulle and Orly. So 85,000 people, 70 Paris airport workers had their security clearance revoked because of radicalization fears. So these are people that they were concerned, you know, and here they are transporting your luggage, because it's the people you never really even think about. It's the janitors. It's the people that are bringing your luggage down when you didn't have enough room in the overhead bin and the guy takes your bag down and puts it under the plane. These are the guys that have the security clearance. And yeah, they have to get these background checks, three, in fact, if they want to get into these really intense zones. But of course, you know, as we can see, those have failed in the past. Now, another big issue here is that one of the people that actually was responsible for blowing himself up there and murdering all those people in the Bataclan rock venue in Paris, he worked as a bus driver, but he was on an intelligence watch list. So this is another huge concern. Yeah, they're not only in the airports, but, you know, they're at the bus, the metro, they're the railway employees. And, you know, this is a huge issue. Meanwhile, people say we should be concerned about this, but on the other side, we have Democrats proposing civil rights for illegals to enter the United States. That's why they want to say that it is a civil right to be able to come into the United States. Civil rights are for Americans. They're for people that are here, born here, make it here. And so now this is in response to Donald Trump's proposal to ban Muslims entering the U.S. without being vetted. Senate Democrats are attempting to create a civil right for anyone to immigrate to the U.S. This is Senator Pat Leahy. He proposed an amendment to Title 18 of the U.S. Code to stop the federal government from banning individuals from entering into the U.S. based on their religion. So, you know, you see, it's probably there with good intentions, but as I have mentioned here, there are some reasons to be concerned about bringing these people in without being properly vetted and giving them jobs in, you know, in these industries that a lot of Americans aren't willing to take. Now, let's go ahead Coming up in this next segment, I'm going to be speaking with Michael Cargill. He's the founder of Central Texas Gunworks. And I wanted to bring him in today to give him the last word on this very incredible mock mass shooting drill that took place here in Austin, Texas this weekend.
What I have to say is I'm going to fart in your face.
Yeah! I don't want to talk to you no more, you empty-headed animal food trough whopper. I fart in your general direction. Your mother was a hamster and your father smelt of elderberries.
Is there someone else up there we can talk to?
She is armed with reason. Armed with reason. So if there was an attack, farting and dildos are going to save you guys. Is this similar to like the Saul Alinsky fart-in where they would hold these mass fart-ins?
When you come to my community, to the university that I love, and you threaten the lives of my friends, we fart in your general direction. We fart in your general direction.
We fart in your general direction.
We fart in your general direction. We fart in your general direction.
We fart in your general direction.
I fart in your general direction.
We 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 fart in your general direction.
There were a few armed citizens that helped the off-duty sheriff take down the guy in the clock tower.
So I'm not answering any questions on that.
That's the historical accuracy of that story.
So, I will say, you know, I will say this, okay? It, you know, good job on that one, right? Great. This is not about the gun issue. This is about their protests, okay? I am a gun owner, okay? I shot my first pistol when I was 3 years old, okay? I have been trained in tactical handgun usage, okay? I know a little bit about guns, okay? This is not about that. This is about their tasteless protest, okay? This is about ratcheting up the rhetoric of fear. This is about terrorizing our community, okay? That's what this is about. You like guns, you don't like guns. If you go to their page, most of the people attacking them are other gun rights advocates who are saying, you're making us look bad, okay? So I think that it's time for somebody to stand up for a little bit of good taste, for a little bit of good humor, and to say, you know what, let's just ratchet down the fear, okay?
This is an American president. Just add puppet, then vote and repeat every 4 years.
Shane Steiner's involvement with InfoWarsLife.com truly happened in an organic way. I went to high school with Shane, his brother, knew his parents well. And he was visiting the office once, hadn't been to the office in years, and said, wow, I notice you're making and selling supplements. Do these really work? Because I've tried a lot of supplements as a workout enthusiast, and I really think most of them are hype. And I said, here, take some home, try it. Well, a few weeks later, he came in blown away and said, I want to buy 3 boxes of this stuff to give my friends and family. It's simply amazing. He said, why does it work so well? And I said, listen, go to InfoWarsLife.com, watch the informational videos with Dr. Group and others. They understand how it all works. I know that it works for me. That's all I understand. The science, the facts, the research, people's testimonials, they're all on InfoWarsLife.com. You can check it out for yourself.
I wanted to go to the gym. I wanted to push myself and work out harder. And that led to me being able to come out and do stuff like the barefooting and the surfing and stuff like that, which what I would never done. I never would have done that 2 years ago.
Shane has said over and over again, more than just libido and energy, it made him want to get into the gym more. It made him want to get in better shape. And believe me, the Steiners have amazing genetics. His brother is a world champion steer wrestler. His dad, Bobby Steiner, is a famous world champion bull rider. They've got natural genetics. But when you added this to the mix, in Shane's own words, it took him to the next level. Shane noticed the mental clarity. Bobby was able to work out longer and gain muscle mass. He's already completely shredded. I gotta admit, for me, the biggest effect has been libido. Now, I've never claimed to have a body like some beach model, but back when I was 20, 22 years old and worked out every day, I looked great. But over the years, and being married, having three kids, and working 18 hours a day, I gained basically 100 pounds. And it's been a long process losing that weight in the last 4 years. But if you look at the photos and the videos of what I looked like 4 or 5 years ago versus today, the results are dramatic. I'd already cleaned up my diet. I was working out hard, but I'd only lost about 20 pounds. It was adding the other key ingredients from InfoWarsLife.com that helped me personally go to the next level and shed another 35 pounds.
This has actually made me feel so good that here late, about a year ago, I started training jiu-jitsu, and that kind of led to doing some boxing and kickboxing. I mean, it's amazing that 2 years ago, I was on the couch and couldn't even tie my shoes, and now I'm training with MMA fighters and just doing stuff that I never thought that I would be doing ever again. So Super Male Vitality has allowed me to do some amazing things, and if it has those kind of effects for me, I know that it will do great things for you. So just try Super Male Vitality. I promise you, you'll love it.
And finally, let's look at Anthony Gucciardi, InfoWars.com reporter. He also works with Dr. Group and others, helping develop the newest, most cutting-edge, high-quality supplements. Let's take a look at what happened when he tried to barefoot ski for the first time with the Steiners. And remember, we're not making fun of him. He had the will to get in the arena, and he's lost more than 10 pounds in the last few years of fat and gained more than 10 pounds of muscle. And Anthony chalks it up to Super Male Vitality as well. Bottom line, folks, you want to discover the power of Super Male Vitality and Super Female Vitality for yourself by visiting InfoWarsLife.com today or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139.
Welcome back. Joining me now in studio is Michael Cargill. He's the founder of Central Texas Gunworks. And I wanted to get him in the studio because this weekend here in Austin, Texas, we sort of had a very controversial mock mass shooting that was said to take place on the University of Texas campus. It was met with a very large counter protest. People weren't happy with the fact that they were going to be having this mock mass shooting on UT campus during finals week, and basically just saying these people were fear-mongering. But I wanted to get you in here, Michael, because you and others have been working tirelessly for years to get campus carry enacted. Of course, that's going to set to take effect in January 2016. What did you think about this mock mass shooting event?
Yeah, I've actually been working, you know, with several groups on the University of Texas campus, also other groups around the state of Texas, other universities, the Texas A&M University, Texas Tech University. We've been working with Students for Concealed Carry on campus, you know, all around the state of Texas, trying to get campus carry passed. And we've been doing this since 2005. We've been in every single session. So we've been in session 2005, 2007, 2009, 13, and 15, trying to get campus carry passed. And, you know, what bothers me are, you know, groups like this who come along who did nothing to help us. You know, we needed people to go to the Capitol to testify for some of these bills. These people were not present. We needed people to call our legislators, you know. We need people to hold up signs, you know, to get certain people elected into office in this state. None of these people were around. But now they come along. Campus carry has already passed. The law is going into effect August the 1st. And now they're trying to give us a bad name by doing little silly and stupid stunts.
Right. And so I know that if you saw the video that I posted over the weekend, I was never able to find this mock mass shooting. From what I understood with the police officers as well as other media that was there, the group that was putting this on was being told to move to different areas because it kept being staged in places that were still on campus. UT said if they were on campus, they'd arrest them for trespassing. And so the media understood that they sort of got pushed, you know, kept getting pushed to new areas. Then it turns out they actually staged the protest or the theatrical performance 30 minutes ahead of time. And so after the fact, the group says that they did this on purpose. They wanted to raise the point that someone who's actually coming along to cause harm isn't going to tell you when and where they're going to do it. So, you know, yes, great, they made that point. But what ended up happening with all of the media that was there was that they're basically making fun of this group now, making a mockery of Campus Carry, turning this into a big joke and talking about how they were drowned out by farts by this other counter-protesting group who, of course, was there with their, you know, very hilarious counter-protest. So now, Michael, you have a very personal passion with why you wanted to get Campus Carry passed. So tell us a little bit about this and why, you know, this sort of turning it into a joke upset you.
Well, you know, and let me be clear, you know, fart noises and things of this nature, using dildos, that's not going to save anyone's life.
Right.
You know, so these, you know, counter protesters weren't doing anything that's going to save lives. So I'm not, you know, helping the counter protesters at all. What these guys did was they made a big mistake. First of all, you don't do a protest at the University of Texas campus on the last day of finals when you have the students are actually leaving to go home and they have plenty of time to mount a counter protest. They're happy. Finals are over. So, oh, by the way, these guys are doing something on my campus I don't like. So let me go and counter protest. It was very dumb, you know, and then, General Colin Powell said something to me that was really important. He said something about 10, 15 years ago. And he said that when he's, you know, doing a conflict, he uses the media to his advantage. And that is one thing that they failed, to use the media to their advantage to get their point across. This was piss poor planning. You know, Campus Carry is something that's near and dear to my heart. My grandmother decided that at 70 years old, she was going to go to college to get her college degree. My grandmother only got a high school education. At 70, she decided she wanted to become a nurse, so she went to college. While my grandmother was traveling from a college library, sitting at a bus stop waiting for a bus to come, a guy came along, mugged her, and raped her. And I decided at that point I would make sure that every female in my family had tools they needed to protect themselves. So this is not a joke. Mm-hmm. This is not a joke for me. This is something that I've been working for over 10 years to get passed in the state. And I do not want clowns making a mockery of what we work so hard for to get passed. And we need a nice, smooth transition because there are other things that we want to get passed in this session down the road.
Right. Exactly. And that was one of the things that you mentioned to me when I saw you Saturday. Was just that, you know, this Campus Carry isn't about some kid in a classroom taking down a mass shooter. That's not what this was about because, A, they're not going to have the training necessary to take down a mass shooter, most likely. This is about self-defense.
Yes, this is about my personal protection. This is about your personal protection. This is a license to carry a handgun. This is not about somebody being a one-armed security team trained to clear an entire building. This is not about that. This is about your individual personal protection and protection of your family and to protect yourself to stop someone from killing you. That is what this is all about, not to be made a mockery of or anything else.
And so I know we've seen some of these pro open carry groups sort of staging these events where they will carry their AR-15s and things like that into Subway or whatever. What should people expect with Campus Carry? Are they going to be seeing these long guns in schools or?
And I also want to be clear on this point. I support, you know, open carry. I support concealed carry. I support constitutional carry. I think our constitution, that is our right. That is our license. So we shouldn't have to pay the state any fee. So I want that to be nice and clear. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm all for the constitution. I think that piece of paper there, that is my right. I like Vermont. In the state of Vermont, I don't need a license to carry my handgun concealed openly. The Constitution is my license. And that is something that we need to move toward here in the state of Texas. Mm-hmm. January the 1st, when open carry goes into effect for the state of Texas, we will become the 45th state to allow open carry in this state. There are 44 states currently that have open carry. Starting January the 1st, Texas will become the 45th state. So starting January the 1st, you will be able to open carry your handgun with a license to carry a handgun. The state of Texas is changing the program from a concealed handgun license to a license to carry a handgun. And with that, it will need to be in a holster. It needs to be in a holster that fits on your belt or a shoulder holster if you're going to open carry that handgun. Mm-hmm. And the way that's going to work is everywhere that you can conceal carry your handgun, you can open carry your handgun. So with the exception of a college campus, you will not be able to open carry that handgun on a college campus, not even on the streets, sidewalks, walkways, parking lots, or garages.
Right. And so I think a lot of people are really concerned that they're going to have these guns in their face and that's going to make students very uncomfortable. The fact is, you're not going to know when someone has concealed carry.
No.
These people that have gone through training.
Yes, they've gone through a 4 to 6 hour class. We've laid out the laws, you know, where you can, you cannot carry that handgun, what you can, you cannot do, the ramifications from that. If you do pull that gun out and use it, we've laid all this stuff out, taking them to the gun range, make sure they are proficient in the firearm. So we actually have a great program, and our statistics go back to 1995. License holders are law-abiding citizens. Mm-hmm. They're not the ones that are committing crimes. License holders are actually more law-abiding than police officers.
Wow.
So when you get a license to carry a handgun here in the state of Texas,
you have a lot more responsibility.
Exactly.
You don't have that license to kill.
This is a great responsibility, and with that, you know, with that license comes, you know, a great responsibility.
Right, absolutely. And so now we got about a minute left. What do you want to say to some of these groups? Because I feel like every movement starts to experience a little bit of a splintering off between people have a different way that they want to see things go, different direction. And so you'll have groups kind of splinter off and then perhaps do things that don't necessarily look good for the whole Second Amendment movement. So what do you want to say?
We need to remember the end game. The end game is to get constitutional carry passed in the state of Texas. We don't need to have little stunts that happened earlier this year in January, the Capitol, where someone stuck their foot in a state representative's office. And that cost us constitutional carry in the state of Texas. Then what the state reps did, they actually instituted panic buttons in the state reps' offices. Mm. And that killed constitutional carry for that entire session. And we almost lost other things. We don't need to have something like that happen. We need to show people that we are responsible gun owners in this state. We're responsible gun owners in this country. We are founded on firearms. And you're not going to take my firearm away from me. You know what? You knock on my door to take my gun, I'm going to give you my bullets first. That is what this is about. So let that be no mistake whatsoever. That is what we're talking about.
Wow, absolutely. All right. Well, Michael Cargill, thank you so much. Central Texas Gunworks, I'm glad that you were able to get in here and get the last word on this mock mass shooting that took place here in Austin, Texas. I'm sure you could see all the wonderful footage there. And now stick around because Jakari Jackson will be back joining me in studio.
You guys have the exclusive for, which is a product called Deep Cleanse. And why I'm so excited about it is it's a unique formula, almost like the iodine crystals. We have two unique products that nobody in the world has. One of the most amazing ingredients in the world, and it's called Shilajit, and it's actually known as blood of the mountain or rock sweat because thousands of years ago, as a matter of fact, this ingredient was only given to the elite of the elite. Thousands of years ago, up in the Himalayan mountains and in Tibet.
And we wanted to put this in stuff for a couple years, but we couldn't get an organic form.
Right. I mean,
so let's explain. I mean, this stuff's so good, we couldn't put it out for years.
Right. So I had to actually, it's kind of like the iodine crystals, finding a source deep in the earth that we could get the cleanest source available. But in Tibet and in Nepal and in the Himalayan mountains, thousands of years ago, they watched these monkeys, and during the summer months, the monkeys would go up into the mountains.
Now you're being racist against monkeys.
And they would pick this black substance from the mountains. And so, in Russia, they actually, it grows in Russia in the mountains and in the Himalayas and only in the summer. And Shilajit is actually the decomposition of up to 7,000 different medicinal herbs. So it decomposes, all these different herbs decompose in the Himalayan mountains and the volcanic soil up there. And what happens in the summertime.
So it's almost like an oil from.
Yes, it's high in fulvic acid, it's high in humic acid.
Because they're always claiming oil is really from decomposed animals and plants. There is some oil that is based from fossils, but most of it's really abiotic. But so this is a true fossil source? I mean, explain it to me.
It is, it's really the decomposition, like I said, of over 7,000 different medicinal herbs and plants. And with the rocks and the pressure deep in the mountains, it freezes and during the summertime and the pressures build it up.
It oozes out.
It oozes out. So it literally oozes out of the mountain.
It's like rock sap.
It's like rock sap. It's black and it's highly nutritious. Even in the 1980s when the Olympic athletes in Russia were accused of being on steroids, they found out that they were actually been given Shilajit because it works as an anabolic as well. and it builds muscles. It's a big dose in there. The second big main ingredient in there is a volcanic zeolite concentrate. And what this formula is designed to do, the shilajit and the zeolites have a real strong negative charge. All the metals and chemicals and PCBs and VOCs have positive charges. So these go in, they grab it, and then they safely eliminate it through the body so you can become healthy. I mean, this is an amazing formula. I wish I actually had it, but because this was an exclusive InfoWars Life product, you're the only one in the world that has this formula now. And, you know, there is going to be a limited supply available when you sell out because you can only harvest this once a year.
How do people take it? How is it recommended that this be done? Just a daily dose?
Yeah, daily dose. The instructions are on the label. You know, of course, I kind of modify it for each individual. It depends on what your lifestyle is. I mean, honestly, the best thing to do is for you to avoid all these chemicals and toxins in your environment and try to identify them and start slowly reducing them. But personally, I'm going to probably take it every day, every other day, and I'll probably go with about a dropper full to maybe two dropper fulls. And I don't expose myself to any chemicals.
InfoWarsLife.com. Please also support our local AM and FM affiliates. Support their local sponsors or become a sponsor and spread the word. Because these aren't just great products. This is how we fund this independent operation. We're not taxpayer funded like MSNBC or NPR, and neither is your local station. So support them, folks. This is a war.
Joining me in studio now is David Knight, and we're going to be discussing this landmark climate agreement that was reached in Paris over the weekend. Now, this is a 31-page agreement, more than 100 countries signed on, pledging to curb climate change. Obama came out immediately touting American leadership in this process and saying, isn't it so great what can happen when countries actually work together? Which was quite telling because, of course, the Secretary John Kerry came out afterward and said, We specifically wrote this avoiding having to deal with Congress because we knew Congress wouldn't agree on this. So it was a little telling there where sovereignty is headed.
We've gotten mixed messages from the Obama administration, Lee, and what they said initially. Obama was saying we have to have something that has teeth in it that can be enforced. And, of course, one of the options in the original drafts of this agreement was to have an international organization that would make assessments, that would assign penalties, an international tribunal, they call it, run by the United Nations. What they settled on were some very large goals, and we're going to take a look at the numbers. They're talking about containing climate temperatures, an increase within 2 degrees, and of course their longer term goal is to keep that down to 1.5 degrees. They're going to go down eventually to zero carbon. So we'll take a look at these numbers. But you know what this really is, Leanne? This is really economic death by degrees. Seriously, right. Because what they're doing with this and what we're going to talk about in just a moment, the French elections, these are all efforts at taking down economies, taking down national sovereignty, creating chaos so that they can offer you the solution of a more centralized government as an intermediate step to a world government. But let's take a quick look at the climate agreement, what it is and what it isn't. First of all, as I point out, they've got this goal of 2 degrees. Now, they're doing that. That's 2 degrees centigrade, so it's about 3.5 degrees Fahrenheit. That is compared to pre-industrial levels. Ask yourself, where is the database of pre-industrial temperatures that is accurate? Because as Alex Jones interviewed the founder of the Weather Channel, he was saying, hey, you know, when I was younger, we had these thermometers that were mercury, you know, set on wood. He goes, you can't have that kind of accuracy. And of course, we know that depending on where you take the measurement, you have heat islands within cities. You have heat islands at airports where they frequently put the thermometers. As I pointed out on the radio yesterday, we would regularly see as we drove from not a large city, Raleigh, North Carolina, to the exurbs where we lived, where it was forested, we would regularly see a 3 to 5 degree differential throughout the year in terms of it being cooler. We see that to a large degree here, even in Austin, as we live in the exurbs. So they're going to take this to pre-industrial levels. They have models that cannot be verified. That's why so many meteorologists do not buy this, because they know they're working very hard on climate models so they can predict the weather 2 days in advance. And they're constantly tweaking these things because they're not there. But we're told that we're going to be able to predict this a century in advance and according to these models, which cannot be verified. So they have to appeal to their authority in order to do this. Now, the other part of this, the other big number in this, besides the 2 degrees and the 1.5 degrees centigrade increase, they're going to limit this to, it's going to be $100 billion a year of crony climatism.
Wow.
Transferring this money, and that is a floor. They're very clear. That is a floor. It is not a ceiling. So you're going to see a massive increase of money being transferred out of Western countries as they use this as a means to try to shut down our income producing capabilities. They're going to be transferring our wealth, and it's not going to be going to anybody but these fat cats who are the crony capitalists.
They'll be setting up the new businesses in these third world countries that will be the recipients, of course, of this aid money.
Yes, and you've already got Bill Gates and others that are setting up the structures to absorb all this massive transfer of wealth. Now, Bernie Sanders, of course, is not impressed by this. He thinks that it goes nowhere near enough. And of course, really, he does have Bernie Sanders really has the only solution to stopping this, and it's called socialism. Because with that, he can get us down not only to zero carbon, but to a zero economy. And so that's really where we're going. But there is an interesting thing that came out of the conference, and that was John Kerry's address, where he had a very clearly stated what the real problem is here. And let me read that to you. He said to the conference, he says, "The fact is that even if every single American citizen biked to work, carpooled to school, used only solar panels to power their homes, if we planted a dozen trees, if we somehow eliminated all of our domestic greenhouse gas emissions, guess what? That still wouldn't be enough to offset the carbon pollution from the rest of the world." And he went on to say, "If all the industrialized nations went down to zero emissions, remember what I said, all the industrialized nations went down to zero emissions, it wouldn't be enough. Not when more than 65% of the world's carbon pollution comes from the developing world." To which one of the people that I've worked with in the past, Chris Horner, he's an author, he's argued cases before the Supreme Court. He says, what Kerry is doing is inadvertently pointing out that this is all pain, no gain.
Right.
He won't admit to the pain. But he still says that if the state uses its coercive power, forces you into rationing energy, that it would somehow impact the climate. So here's the good news, though.
It still wouldn't impact the climate.
Exactly. So why not? So here's the good news. The International Climate Justice Tribunal was not put in place. So that's the best thing about it. And as they point out, Mitch McConnell and even Paul Ryan have said that this is going to be dead on arrival. Mitch McConnell said the U.S. portion is relying on measures that are being championed by President Obama that were challenged in the courts. And he says before his international partners pop the champagne, they should remember this is an unattainable deal based on a domestic energy plan that is likely illegal, that half of the states have sued to halt, that Congress has already voted to eject. And Paul Ryan echoed that. Of course, he's Speaker of the House. He says this agreement does not bind Congress in any way. We will continue to focus on an energy policy that promotes America's abundant natural resources. So that's the good news. Now, here's where they're ultimately headed, Leanne. They're talking now about a new space race in terms of a crony capitalist competition to see who's going to create the satellite technology to monitor what's going on, because that's, I think, one of the reasons why they didn't come up with an enforcement mechanism at this point is because they want to measure it. And that is going to allow them to pinpoint the sources of greenhouse gases. As we know with technology, they're going to take that down to the individual level for each and every one of us.
And then, so what does this have to do with, you know, what's going on across the world with the refugee crisis? Because as we know, it's climate change that is causing this mass migration.
Well, what we saw this weekend was very interesting because yesterday they had the French elections. A week earlier, we had seen a surprise victory from the National Front in France. That was the people who are trying to stop immigration. What we saw yesterday was after the socialists came in third in several areas, they completely removed their candidates and told the socialist left to join with the conservative Republicans. That's their name of their party. So the conservative Republicans joined with the socialist left, just as we see here in America, the establishment coming together to shut down anybody who would do anything about open and uncontrolled immigration. And of course, they were able to defeat them. And again, Marine Le Pen, who is head of the National Front, she was running as a candidate from Calais, where they're having that horrendous situation with the refugees. So there was a lot of support for her. They won the first round in 6 out of 13 areas, but they didn't win there. Now, what we saw as reaction to that is Angela Merkel in Germany says, well, we're going to have to significantly reduce the number of immigrants. So we're going to put some immigration controls on it. But that's not sincere. At the same time she's doing that. Exactly. But at the same time she's doing that, they are setting up a mechanism. It's the European Border and Coast Guard Agency. The people who are pushing this, the countries who are pushing this, are the French leadership and Angela Merkel in Germany. They're pushing this, and what it's going to do is set up a border patrol that is going to keep the borders open even when the sovereign states don't want it. And as the Financial Times pointed out, this is the biggest transfer of national sovereignty to the European Union since the euro. Wow. It's very important that people understand this is not about xenophobia, okay? They are trying to import chaos by bringing in jihadis, okay? But it is also about a massive transfer and consolidation of political power to the center.
Right. And it again, with Obama coming out and saying, you know, isn't it just amazing the things that we can accomplish when all of the countries work together? The minute that I saw that coming out of his mouth, it just, for me, I really felt like, wow, okay, here we go. This is the new world order. This is everyone. We don't need Congress's approval for this, even though, you know, of course, there's no enforcement power. But that's basically what he was saying, as well as John Kerry came out, echoed it as well. We don't need Congress.
Well, Obama's going to try to run this through with the EPA. Mm-hmm. And even though this is just goals, we need to understand that UN agendas are very powerful. Our entire war on drugs, which is a huge tax on the economy, a huge drain on us, perverted our legal system, that all came from a UN agenda. Wow. That was created 10 years before Nixon declared the war on drugs, and they followed it to the T, just like Agenda 21. So this is yet another UN agenda that they're going to push on us, and that's the concern.
Well, this is incredible. All right, David Knight, thank you so much for joining us. All right, we'll stick around because Michael Cargill, the founder of Central Texas Gunworks, will be in studio. We're going to follow up on that mock mass shooting theatrical performance that took place here in Austin, Texas over the weekend.
Brain Force is here. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been on this the last few months. You probably noticed I've been more crazed, more focused, less brain fog, more energy, more special reports, and it's because of Brain Force.
One of the worst things with most energy products is it's not sustainable, right? You're going to crash and going to feel really bad afterwards. This has a bunch of different antioxidants and compounds and polyphenols.
Everybody's on these drugs to knock their brain out because the brain's so fried.
We kept changing this formula over and over and over again until it became sort of a grand puzzle. For example, the L-theanine inside of it, that is activated by the different compounds in the yerba mate that we put inside of it as well. This just increases the compounds you already have.
This is what you're actually designed to run on.
Exactly.
It's kind of like a car will run on one form of junkie gas, but it runs really good on what it's designed for.
You will find Brain Force, Survival Shield X2, and other game-changing products at InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139. Introducing Secret 12, the new InfoWars Life vitamin B12 formulation. Most forms of vitamin B12 are highly processed and synthetic and cannot be properly absorbed by the body. That's why for real results, so many are having to turn to painful B12 injections, which are known to have higher absorption rates. Now, InfoWarsLife.com is excited to announce that we can bring you our most bioactive, powerful form of B12 that has been developed with our exclusive perfected process. Secret 12 is a binary of nutraceutical grade, bioavailable coenzyme forms of B12, methylcobalamin, the same kind used in B12 injections, and adenosylcobalamin. Secret 12 is simply taken by mouth, right on the tongue, and then swallowed. No needles, no injections. Don't take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Discover the secret. Secret 12. Secure your revolutionary Secret 12 formula right now at InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139.
Welcome back. Joining me in studio now is Jakari Jackson with the News Blitz. What's going on in the world today?
Well, we got a lot of news going on today, Lynn. Bergdahl, you know, the story we've been talking about for a little while now. Now Bergdahl is to face desertion charges in a general court martial, says Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl, who was held by the Taliban for 5 years and freed in exchange for five detainees in Guantanamo Bay, will face charges of desertion and misbehavior before the enemy in a general court martial instead of a misdemeanor level form, the Army announced Monday. Now, there's a lot of people that have weighed in on this topic. You know, I'm not a military guy, so it doesn't really affect me as personally as it does some people. But some people saying the guy's a deserter. You know, he put his unit at risk, not only for having them be a man down, but then having to go out and search for him. And of course, I don't think anybody was happy that they exchanged five detainees for this one guy.
Former Al-Qaeda members who the Obama administration promised everyone they're changed men. They're not going to go back to terrorism. Then it turns out one of these guys has emerged as a top al-Qaeda leader in a video urging Muslims to kill Americans. This is Ibrahim al-Qosi, and he resurfaced in one of these videos. But, you know, these are others. The Obama administration also released a bin Laden bodyguard. Mm. And their justification for this is that, you know, we're going to release the guys that are less threatening than those that we are fighting presently.
Less threatening.
Yes.
Well, we also know, I think it came out last week, how they had a guy in Guantanamo Bay for a number of years who was actually a misidentification. They just got some wrong guy, or they, you know, gave him the trumped up charge, and he was there for several years before he got released.
Yeah, and Obama has said that he wants to clear out Guantanamo Bay because it's basically a perfect recruitment ground for ISIS. So that's why he wants. But I mean, you know, you're torturing these guys for years, and they're like, "I promise you, I'm a changed man." And
so he's been saying he's going to shut it down for how many years now?
Since before he got elected.
Campaign
promise.
Yeah. So we got some other things going on here. Earlier, you were talking to Michael Cargill about some of the gun rights and, you know, way things are being responded to. But somebody who had a perfect response, not to the thing that happened here at UT, but just guns in general, was Kurt Russell.
Mm-hmm.
And I know David Knight's been talking about this since last week, but I think it also deserves another mention.
Oh, yeah.
Because so often we hear many negative things. You know, celebrities, they come out, "I hate guns, this and that." And, you know, we see the demand to plan things where these guys make millions of dollars off these violent movies or whatever else. But, you know, Kurt Russell has come out and he said, you know, we need to have guns in this country. And then he's talking to the guy who's trying to dupe him in, you know, saying something crazy or stupid.
He's almost like shocked. Like, "Well, wait a minute. You're a Hollywood member." Like,
he's like, "Yeah, I mean," he's like, "Kurt Russell, you live in a compound where you have, you know, armed security." And he's like, "No, I want to be responsible for my own safety." And as he told the gentleman, Kurt Russell did, he said, "Hey, you can go to Home Depot and buy, you know, materials to make a bomb."
Right.
It was on, I think they pulled it off YouTube now, but a couple years ago, a guy made a video going around the airport to airport gift shops and making weapons out of the stuff.
Wow.
But, you know, you can't talk about just common sense stuff like that.
He's like, they can get a knife, they can get a sledgehammer, they can drive a car into you. And I mean, just take a look at what's going on in Israel. They're having stabbings every single day, multiple stabbings, or people are driving their cars into people, using their cars.
That happened here in South by Southwest. I went out there last year. The day after it happened, a guy got drunk, drove on the sidewalk, hit, I think, 20 people or so.
Right.
Several of whom died. Nobody wants to talk about that.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, it's an isolated incident. Well, 20 people got hit, many of them died. That's a pretty serious incident in my book. So, you know, it's a very good response from Kurt Russell. Now, the Star Wars movie is coming up, Leanne. And I know you're just all the rage for it. But, you know, they have this new policy where they're not allowing people at certain theaters to come in, even with lightsabers, you know, because they say they have security concerns and all that. And, you know, I wouldn't support banning, you know, the Han Solo blaster, but to me, that would make more sense than banning a lightsaber. But now we see that the LAPD is performing random stop and frisk searches on people going to the Star Wars premiere, at the Chinese theater out there. And the thing about this is, Leanne, is it's not just people who are going to the film. If you just happen to be in that area walking down the street, you are subject to a stop and frisk.
Right. Well, they got to ramp up the terror threat. So everyone's concerned. You know, you got to decide what side you're fighting.
If you're
for.
On the dark side or not. Because we've been saying this for years. Because they started doing the pat downs and stuff when you go to the football games and all that stuff. Me and Josh had to go through a TSA-style check when we went to the Super Bowl. And we were saying it's going to extend to shopping malls. It's going to extend to the movie theaters. And here it is, proof positive.
Disney World.
Yeah, and it's not even just, like I said, it's not even just going to the movie theater if you happen to be in that area. The same thing when David Knight and I went to Philadelphia when the Pope was there. They shut down, you know, blocks. You know, we had to walk miles out of our way, you know, to get to our hotel at night. If you were walking down the street, you had to walk all the way around or you had to be subject to a search. It happened in the United States of America. It's not some far-off sci-fi deal. It's happening right now, but people just don't care. It's like, well, you know, we'll put up with this.
Right. Yeah. Well, speaking of Star Wars, Dakari, I wanted to go ahead and play this clip from our favorite news pundit out there. Guys, go ahead and roll the clip of Melissa Harris-Perry.
I spent the whole day talking about the whole Darth Vader situation. But
really?
You
could?
Yeah, like the part where he was totally a black guy whose name basically was James Earl Jones. He was black, he was terrible and bad and awful and used to cut off white men's hands and didn't, you know, actually claim his son. But as soon as he claims his son and goes over to the good, he takes off his mask and he is white. Oh, yes, I have many, many feelings about that, but I will try to put them over here.
Now, Jakari, I have been hearing this for several months now leading up to this about Star Wars being racist because they didn't have any black characters originally. And then now it turns out that they do have black characters. So then you have people on the other side going, well, that's like reverse racism or whatever. But I have never actually heard this argument.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm not a huge Star Wars guy. Like, I have seen the movies. I'll see the new one, but I'm not a hardcore Star Wars guy. If you go back to the original trilogy, they had Billy Dee played Han Solo's friend or whatever. So they did have black people in it. And then in the new trilogy, one of Princess Leia's mom's bodyguards was black and all that stuff. But, I mean, they have had black people in it. But to say that the movie is racist because Darth Vader was played by, or the voice of Darth Vader was played by James Earl Jones. I've actually seen interviews with James Earl Jones where he talked about it. And he said George Lucas came to him and wanted a voice that was dark. Not dark in color or race or anything. Yeah. He said he would like a serious, intimidating tone. Because you can go back and watch, like on special disc DVDs or whatever, making a Star Wars, and you can hear the actual actor who's in the Darth Vader costume. He doesn't sound intimidating at all. So they dub in James Earl Jones to make the guy sound serious and scary. But, you know, that's just... I mean, Melissa Ferry says so much stuff that I
these are the kind of things
respond to it.
These are the kind of things that get traction there because with this whole movement, people want to be able to argue about something. And obviously, Twitter, you have 150 characters, 180 characters to put your point across, so you can't really get in depth to really back up your claims or whatever you're saying. You can just put out that little soundbite, and you know, then it causes all this.
I honestly think they just put this stuff out there to get a response from it. I don't think it's something that they're really passionate about.
She said she can think about it all day long.
Oh, man, maybe she can.
Turn anything into a racial issue. I mean, this is Hollywood where they have, you know, maybe I'm offended that they have, you know, actual humans voicing penguins in cartoons and stuff.
Yeah.
I feel offended.
This discrimination. At the end of the day, it's a movie about talking robots and aliens who hit each other with laser swords. You know, I mean, is it really that big of a deal? But here's a story that we should take seriously. Obama to expand modern-day slavery with TPP. Now, if you recall, Leanne, if you have a trade agreement, you would think that that would be something to put sanctions on things like slave labor, but that is definitely not the case. It was Obama who quietly removed anti-slavery provisions from the TPP in June while he was publicly attacking the Confederate flag as a symbol of slavery.
Right.
The provision, which bars countries that engage in slavery from being part of the major trade deals with the U.S., was written by Senator Bob Mendez, and the Huffington Post reported in May. At the insistence of the White House, Mendez agreed to modify his language to say that as long as the country was taking concrete steps to reduce human trafficking and forced labor, it could be part of the trade deal. So you go from this super hardcore stance, like, no.
It's like the terrorists released from Guantanamo are taking steps to be...
Yeah, we're taking steps to be more humanitarian by, you know, releasing people who we were torturing in prison camps and doing all these other horrific things to. Mm-hmm. And it's not just the people in the prison camps. You know, we see what happens here domestically, surveillance, police brutality, and so on and so forth.
Well, this story, I think, could also just make people be a little bit more conscious of where their food comes from, because I know a lot of people are concerned, obviously, with GMO labeling. But this is actually, they're telling you that you're... If you get those bags of peeled shrimp or you go to the buffet with the all-you-can-eat shrimp, it's already peeled. Mm-hmm. Who do you think peels that for you? And it turns out these are slave labor companies that are forcing people to work 16 hours a day, right. And they've got their fingers in ice-cold water. So, yeah, I mean, it might just make you think a little bit about the convenience of the food we have here in the West. Well, Jakari Jackson, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for watching us tonight. We will see you here again tomorrow at 7 p.m. Central with our live coverage of the GOP debate.
Knockout is back. If you want a product that has 10 known ingredients that naturally get your body to relax, your brain to relax, so you get deep, restful sleep, Knockout's it. InfoWarsLife.com. L-theanine, hops flower extract, lemon balm extract, valerian root extract, chamomile flower extract, L-tryptophan extract, melatonin, and more. All organic, all the natural sources. It's the same price as leading brands of melatonin that are 3 milligrams a piece. It has 3 milligrams, the standard recommended dose for an adult. It's got the GABA. So it would probably cost $50 to take all this as separate pills. It's $19.95. You take one or two of these, and it just is really clean, restful sleep is what the reviews are. It's what I've experienced.
And it just synergistically puts everything in there. InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com. Or call 888-253-3139.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. And your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.